who we are. Oh, God, we're here because your heart was moved when your ears heard that there was an opportunity to make a difference. Some of us got tired of being tired and decided that it was on us. If we don't do it, then nothing won't get done. Hello?
Hello?
I say, if we don't do it, it won't get done. But look at you, God moved you. I know some of you made great sacrifices to be here. And I know that God will reward us for our sacrifices, but even more so for our being. So we have a great program for you today, and we want you to keep your prayer wheels turning, keep your ears open and your heart open to receive the truth of God. Give God another hand raise. I want to ask those things to sit there when we come up and see what God has put on your heart.
In the name of the one God and in the name of his servants, dear brothers and sisters, we came here to Sacramento in peace, but we didn't come to play. We recognize the seriousness of this moment because many of us representing Black, Latino, Asian, Pacific Islander, poor white, we're suffering. But it appears as if those in power don't recognize the level of suffering that the people of this state are undergoing. It appears that there are issues that don't even show up on the radar of those who make and pass laws. Nobody wants to talk about the growing criminalization of young men of color. Nobody wants to talk about the racial profiling that's taking place in cities all over California. Nobody wants to talk about profiling of immigrants, criminalizing Latinos, migrant workers. Nobody's talking about illegal evictions of poor people all over the state of California. Nobody's talking about young Black and brown children who are not achieving in public schools, even though billions of dollars are spent in public schools, yet our children continue to fail generation after generation, and now there's a school to prison pipeline, but nobody's talking about this. It's as if we're invisible. You send people to the state legislature. You've elected people. But when they get here, they sometimes get amnesia and are more interested in balancing budgets on the backs of the poor rather than serving the will and desires of the poor who sent them here. This is a very serious time. Our young people are being served with gang injunction status. People can just tag them and call them gang members without anybody being able to even defend themselves. If you call a young person a gang member, that opens up now laws that impact them in ways that we can't even imagine. Some of our mothers have grown used to traveling 200 and 300 miles to go and visit loved ones in state prisons that are built way out in places that nobody hardly lives. Then when our mothers get to state prison to visit their loved ones, sometimes they're being turned around because of lockdowns that are just arbitrary. You got to pay for phone calls with MCI where they charge you money. And now you're paying the system double because criminalization of poor people has become the order of the day. But at some point, people have to stand up and say, enough is enough. of those who have been elected know better. Some of those who have been elected to public office know the game that's been played on people of color and poor people. Jerry Brown, the state attorney general, said some words back in 1997. And I'd like to repeat his words to you. He said in the Wall Street Journal that the U.S. incarceration binge is not tied to crime, but it's a strategy to control surplus populations in a capitalistic system that's breaking down. He said that the war on drugs is really no war at all. It's really a business. He said, look at the whole criminal corrections game, which is a big piece of our economy. It's just an invention. Crime is being invented to put people to work. So many of our young brothers and sisters are worth more to the system locked up. And if they can get you in prison for 25 or 30 years at an expense of $50,000 a year, then they've got you now in your life in prison spending or representing $3 to $5 million to the system. No wonder they don't want to let you go. Somebody has determined that we're worth more locked up than we are on the street with an education. Do you know in the past 25 years, California has built 20 prisons and only one university? So when you talk about the priorities of the state, where are the priorities? They say in warfare, the first casualty is truth. Well, when you declared a war on drugs, that war had a black and brown and red face to it. Most of these leaders know the truth. But unfortunately, they are too afraid to speak because the system is set up to reward those who toe the party line and challenge those who refuse to bow down. And once you're a legislator and tagged with a soft on crime tag, that's the end of your political career. But we're here to say to the legislators, it's time to free up now. It's time that we back those who stand up and sit those down who refuse to do the right thing. So not only must we free our brothers and sisters that are locked away in prison houses, we've also got to free up some legislators. Some of them are in bondage. According to Webster's Dictionary, a slave is one that is completely subservient to a dominating influence. One who is abjectly subservient to a specified person or influence. This is no longer a state of the people, by the people, and for the people. You may vote for them, but when you leave the state capitol, lobbyists in business suits, big money business interests, they walk the halls of the state capitol and make deals over dinner and steak and fish and seafood. They cut deals with legislators to get them to support various pieces of legislation that literally do you harm. And don't ever think you're not personally affected by this. Don't ever think that you're not affected by crime law, by eviction laws. If you live in public housing, if they suspect someone in your family is involved in some activity, they now move the whole family. take away your ability to subsidize your housing, knowing there's not a job for you to try to work to make your rent, knowing that rents have gone up, but now you go from subsidized housing to homelessness. There's got to be a new day, and we're the ones that are going to usher it in. Those who run things, or excuse me, have run things, because the day of running things as usual is over with. And when you determine that it's time to stand up and challenge those forces that have waxed rich off of our ignorance and disunity, when black, brown, Asian, Pacific Islander, and white come together and stand for justice, you'll be surprised how fast this thing will turn around. That's why we call this the Caravan for Justice. Because whatever your issue is, you can find refuge in this movement. If your issue is environmental justice, come on and join us. If your issue is three strikes and dealing with the prison system, come on. If your issue is the death penalty, come on. If your issue is police reform, come on. If your issue is housing and education and all of the things that we're suffering from, I say come on and be part of this caravan for justice, because we're coming to a city near you. How many families have been destroyed by three strike laws? How many families and communities have been destroyed since the passing of three strikes, where they used, under the guise of Polly Klox being brutally murdered by Richard Allen Davis, under the guise of dealing with rapists and whatnot, you pass a law that young men are being arrested for stealing a pack of cigarettes, slices of pizza. So now whole communities have been literally wiped out under the guise of law and order. Tell me, has violent crime stopped since you passed three strikes, or has it increased? What was the aim and objective, and have you satisfied that aim? Where are the state hearings? We're calling on the black legislators. We're calling on the Latino legislators. We're calling on the Asian Pacific Islander legislators. When are you going to call state hearings to challenge three strikes and its effectiveness and its destruction of our community? Today, the California Supreme Court upheld Proposition 8, yet they modified it and allowed those who got married to stay married. But the fact is that people challenged a proposition voted on by the people of California, and legislators, trying to curry favor, fought to challenge that proposition even though it passed. Well, our position is, if you can challenge Prop 8, you can challenge three strikes, 209, and any other proposition that's out there. There's a debate going on about torture and who knew what and when you knew it. Well, you don't have to go to Guantanamo Bay to talk about torture. We can talk about torture in Corcoran, Solano, San Quentin, and Folsom. According to what I read, solitary confinement over protracted periods of time is being recognized as torture. According to rulings by the federal judge, Delton Henderson, the health system in prison is atrocious and needs to be overhauled. People are being brutalized in prison. People are gladiator type fights are set up in prison by sadistic prison guards. Well, if Michael Vick can do prison time for being involved in dog fighting, how much more prison time should guards do causing people, human beings, to fight and kill one another in prison? In fact, you might have more rights if you were a canine. You might get more sympathy if you were a dog, or a spotted owl, or a gray wolf, or a sperm whale. You might get more sympathy from the state legislature if you were an animal or a fish or an insect than you get from them being a human being. So we're saying enough is enough. The nervous system of our communities is now being connected. You know how you feel when your toe gets stepped on? Your toe doesn't just feel the pain, but your whole body feels the pain when your toe gets stepped on. That's because your body's connected to a nervous system. And what affects your finger affects your head. What affects your arm affects your leg. What affects your feet affects your toes. What affects your toes affects your fingers. Likewise, what affects the Latino community affects the black community, affects the Asian community, affects the poor community. We now have to become one family. Don't you know, individually, we can refer to ourselves under the false term minority. But together, in unity, we become the majority. When black, Latino, progressives, Asian, Pacific Islander, when we can all agree on certain core principles, that's why we call it a caravan for justice. Because if you support Bart's overhaul after the murder of Oscar Grant, when these people were silent, then you need to be part of this movement so that you can demand that BART be re-overhauled. Right now, poor communities are being poisoned with toxins, chemicals, by greedy developers who don't care about children, who don't care about elderly. Right now, asthma rates have gone through the roof. Whether you live in Richmond, San Francisco, and Bayview Hunters Point with the wicked rogue Lennar Corporation, or you're in Richmond with the Chevron Corporation, or you're in West Oakland living next to brownfields and Superfund sites, and nobody cares nothing about that until the big money developers are ready to build high-rise condos. Then they want to clean it up at the expense of poor people. This is your time. This is our day. So we didn't come to spend a lot of time talking, because our work now is to go up in the halls and begin to lobby, starting first with our legislators, starting first with folk that look like us, that should have sympathy toward our issue. Do you know there's a black caucus?
Come on.
There's a black caucus. In fact, an African American woman is the speaker of the House of the Assembly. So we don't have to fight the man anymore. We've become those in positions of leadership. So we shouldn't face the kind of problems we faced 40 and 50 years ago. We got people in positions that should be able to eliminate our pain once and for all. We were told, just vote. If you want change, vote. Okay, we voted. You're here now. Now show us what the hell we voted for when we put you in office. So this is Caravan for Justice 3. But we're coming back for four next month. But in between the Caravan for Justice mobilization, a delegation has been walking the halls, introducing ourselves, meeting the legislators, letting them know what our issues are, so that when we come, we're not just coming for a feel-good coming together, but we're coming together to do the same thing that big corporations and business interests have been doing all these years. So brothers and sisters, we've got brothers, people from nine cities. We've got brothers and sisters who came all the way from Bakersfield to join the Caravan for Justice. We're going to ask a representative from the Bakersfield contingent to come and share some words with you. Then we're going to hear from Sacramento, Oakland, Antioch, Stockton, Modesto, East Palo Alto, and San Francisco, so that you know you have family anywhere you go, anywhere in the state, you'll be able to identify somebody who stands with you. Come on up, my sister. What's your name again?
It's an honor to be here. You know, he was saying something about we're the minority, and you know what comes to mind? One time there was a small man and a big man named Goliath. But the little man had a big man behind him, and that's what we got. So we stand here united. I love it. It's an honor. But here's what I'd like for you to do. I'd like for us to be heard that we're here. And at the count of three, you yell your lungs out. Okay. One, two, three. Yeah! Woo! We've done it! Thank you. I come here to give you just a couple of words. A very wise man once said, wickedness prevails. Do you hear that? Wickedness prevails when good people do nothing. Woo! Right here, you know, life gets in the way. But I want to tell you something. Our kids, our families, they don't have a life. They took away their life. They put an L on their sentence. So next, when you go home, talk to somebody and say, they're not living a life. You are? Join the people who are doing something. There was another wise man that said, an unjust law is no law at all. And I'm proud, I'm honored to see, as brother said, we're united here. There's different organizations, but you know what? Look at us. Don't we look beautiful? Somebody brought us together, and I'm proud. Thank you. Go home and tell people. The evil prevails when good people do nothing. And I'm glad to see good people here. Thank you. And we're from the Bakersfield chapter. And we made it here. Thank you.
Let's hear it for our sister from Bakersfield, California. We got a group of brothers and sisters that were planning to come up from Fresno. See, our role in Northern California is to stand for our brothers and sisters in the other parts of the state. To come up here from Oakland or from Los Angeles or from San Diego is an 8-9 hour drive. They got to get a hotel room. They got to get on a bus. They've got a plan. And it's costly. But you and I who live an hour, 2 hours, hour and a half, 30 minutes away, you represent the brothers and sisters that can't come but stand with you, and you are their voice at the state capitol. Brothers and sisters, we have from Sacramento a brother who's been organizing and working. Is Brother Al Rojas around? He's been mobilizing and organizing among the Latino community. And I just want you to see what solidarity looks like, so that when the media gets a hold of this, they will know we are together now. Come on up, my brother.
Brothers and sisters, salam alaikum. Welcome to Sacramento. We're here today for a mission. That mission is the young people we see here today. That mission is that they should not, we should not allow what is happening criminally to our young people in this country. And we ain't gonna say but one thing. In Spanish it's called basta. In English it says enough, like the brother said. The brother's correct. We're living in a dangerous time when we have politicians, lawmakers, making thousands of laws that are more concerned, as the brother said, about animals rather than human beings. Yeah. It ain't no secret about what's happening in this country. Come on, it ain't no secret. We know that the criminalization is when people are hungry, when they don't have jobs, when they don't have homes, they don't have rights, and they don't have respect from the very people who are making money off of our people when they incarcerate us. This gang injunction policy comes at the expense of making money. Whose money is that if it ain't our money being used to criminalize? Let me tell you what this banner means here. There's been killings in Oakland for Brother Oscar Grant and many other people of color in this country. We have a war, and our own government, police authorities, are using that war against us. In the Sacramento jail, we had an immigrant worker who was picked up, and because he was termed to be an undocumented worker, a man who is violent other than a person of color, strangled him inside the jail, and the police, the sheriffs, couldn't come back and find out why he was murdered under custody in the Sacramento jail. The government pays $100 for each bed for those undocumented workers in this country. Where do you think that money comes from? From you, me, and all of us, the taxes we pay, because they use that money. Now I go to the brother in Yolo County, the county in Woodland. A young man, 26 years of age. His mother drops him off at the DMV in Woodland to take back his license that was suspended. He pays $500, takes an exam, passes the exam, walking home, an undercover car of sheriffs that had no jurisdiction in the city of Woodland decide to do a routine stop. They're dressed undercover like if they're supposed to be gang members, the police. They're in a car that's supposed to look like a gang member's car. They stop the man and say, "Stop, we want to talk to you." He doesn't know who they are. So what does he do? He runs for his life. He runs for his life and tries to defend himself when these police officers, these sheriffs are saying, "We're going to get you, because in Yolo County, we have a gang enforcement unit at the county level and the city level
and we aim to get you people of color because we need to fill the jails. But not only that, it got worse than that. When they got 3 feet from him, 3 feet, three officers, two of them armed to the teeth with their Colt revolvers, decide to say that he had a knife and he was trying to defend himself, they shot at him 6 times. 6 times! One bullet hits him in the back of the neck and kills him in the back. That's the justice that we cannot tolerate. That's the justice we cannot accept any longer. It is about our kids. It is about our youth. And we need to step up to the plate. And that's why it's important that we're not going to allow this to happen. Yes, the city council, the attorney general, and the attorney general of this country, we need to turn them around. And these legislators, African American, Latino, and white, had better get it straight one thing. We ain't gonna buy their BS that our young kids have to suffer the consequences of being killed in the street because they wear a t-shirt, a blue cap, or a red cap. That is not enough. I want to say to you, when we're here today, is to send that message. And I say to you, thank God that we're here and we got to unify.
That's right.
Thank you very much.
That's Al Rojas with the Latino Coalition. One more time. Now I would like to bring from Sacramento a good friend and a worker and a soldier, Brother Dr. Pastor Ron Allen.
My name is Dr. Allen. I represent the International Faith-Based Coalition. My job is to unite everyone together. I would assure you, when Oscar Grant was shot, they did not ask him his religious preference. I assure you, when they're throwing our brothers and our sisters in prison, they're not asking, are you Baptist or Episcopal Methodist or Catholic or Black Buddhist? We need to unite as a people. We need to put down the diversities, and we need to unite as a coalition, and we need to have one voice for one cause going in one direction. And this is what the future will look like.
In the name of God, the most beneficent, most merciful, I bear witness that there is no God but God. I greet everyone in these words of peace and paradise of Assalamu Alaikum. As we stand here today, united for one cause, it will take all of us to turn to our neighbors and look side to side and ask them, who am I without you? What am I without you? Go ahead and ask them, who am I? Who are we? Take to the realization that our struggle is all the same. Our brothers and sisters are being locked up all the same. When one of us go under, we all go under. They take us all for the same sucker. We got him, we're gonna get her too. So as we stand here right now, He's calling my time. Just remember, brothers and sisters, that we are all here for the same cause and we serve the same purpose. Assalamu alaikum.
In the name of God, I bear witness that there is but one God and that Muhammad is his messenger. I greet you all with the greeting words of peace. We say it in the Arabic language, Assalamu alaikum. I'm Brother Keith Muhammad, and I'm honored to be here with a group of activists and students that are working hard night and day coming out of the East Bay, Oakland, California, Berkeley, California, and other neighboring cities. Our demand for justice certainly is fueled by the horrific murder of our brother, Oscar Grant. And I think that each and every one of us know and realize that no one of us can rise above the condition of our people. So when we witnessed the murder of our brother on January the 1st, for that shooting was not just the shooting of Oscar Grant, it was the shooting of every one of us. Repeat after me, I am Oscar Grant.
I am Oscar Grant.
I am Oscar Grant.
I am Oscar Grant.
In recent days, a young man in Inglewood, California, Marcus Smith, shot 20 times exiting a party from among his family members, unarmed, and again unexplained. In San Jose, just a few weeks ago, a young man, Inglewood, by the name of Eddie Felix Franco, shot 47 times, unarmed, by the Inglewood Police Department, and when questioned by experts about why this happened, they called the shooting of Brother Eddie by law enforcement contagious fire. The same city suffering a $25 million lawsuit for the murder of Michael Bayoun, 19 years old. In San Jose, just a few weeks ago, a young man known to be mentally ill, when approached by law enforcement, was shot, tasered, and killed by SFPD. And when their enforcement department was asked to deliver the tapes of the 911 call that brought the police to their door, like many other law enforcement agencies, they took the position to run, cover, and hide. So now that brings us here to the steps of the state capitol that is deciding what to do with Assembly Bill 312, which was the bill derived after the murder of Oscar Grant. But a few weeks ago, when I came here to witness the testimony about AB 312, one of the staffers of a wise assemblyman came to me when I told him I came to share, and he asked me the question, who is Oscar Grant? Well, I think we're all here today to declare in unity and say it again, I am Oscar Grant.
I am Oscar Grant.
I am Oscar Grant. We are here to back legislation. If it doesn't exist, then produce it. That would produce police oversight and accountability that makes some sense. You should know that they stalled on it here, claiming that BART would produce a system of its own. But what BART introduced was the weakest form of oversight that one could imagine. So we're here to say to the legislature, push through and pass Assembly Bill 312. With our delegation, we have with us a member of the Oakland Black Caucus, and I bring him before you as an organizer that helped to draft the current mayor of Oakland into position again. Please join me in receiving Brother Jeffrey Peet.
Thank you very much, Brother Keith Muhammad. Yesterday, the Oakland Black Caucus was feeding over 500 individuals. Human misery and pain and suffering is at all-time high, not just in Oakland, but throughout the land. And we were doing our small part to help mitigate some of that misery. And the call cried out to change gears and join the Caravan for Justice in Sacramento tomorrow. Well, I was tired, had innumerable business obligations, but as Martin Luther King said, that some things are so true, some things are so eternally dear, that they are worth dying for. And if a man hasn't found anything worth dying for, he or she's not fit to live. So he may go on to live to be 90 or 100, but it's just a belated announcement of an earlier death. He died when he refused to stand up for what was just and what was right and what was significant. The black women organized for political change in the city of Oakland brought Winnie Mandela to Oakland a number of years back. And I'll never forget what she said. Her words ring through my ears with a piercing familiarity even today. And she said that it's amazing. In South Africa, we go visit prisoners all the time. We don't know their name. We don't know their families, but we go visit them. And she said that she had gotten a clearance to visit all the prisons throughout the state. She couldn't believe how many individuals hadn't been seen and visited by anybody. That is our obligation, ours is our duty. There's a biblical undergirdness that supports that you should go visit those that are in prison. So having said that, we need not question and fear relative to patriotism, because we fought on Bunker Hill, we fought in the Civil War, we were the first to die there. We died disproportionately in World War I and II. We've made our contributions. Now we're here to fight on the steps of Sacramento Capitol, and I just want to say I stand with you and join you, and thank you very much.
We bring next from the Oakland Town Hall meeting, from the campaign to end the death penalty. Organizers, we met with the execution, the state-sponsored murder of our brother Stan Tookie Williams. Join me in receiving our sister Dana Blanchard and her students from LaTont Middle School.
Hi there. Thank you so much for having us. Sorry. I want to say just something quickly about priorities, because I brought my students out here because I actually think they need to learn how to stand up and speak their minds. And unfortunately, students don't mean much in this state, because this state has a set of priorities that doesn't prioritize children. It doesn't prioritize health care for kids, for education, jobs for kids, vocational training in high schools. It doesn't prioritize those things. What does it prioritize? It prioritizes spending money sending kids to jail. It prioritizes building prisons, not schools.
That's right.
It takes up to $100,000 to keep a youth in prison in this state. What would that $100,000 look like if we gave it to that child in that classroom? It would look like a college education. It would look like better paid teachers and better facilities for our kids to go to school. I'm not up here right now to defend public education as it looks right now, because it does not look good. The achievement gap is huge in this state. I'm up here to say we need to work together to change that. We need to close the achievement gap. It starts with parents and teachers coming together in their communities, saying we prioritize schools, not jails, for our kids, and we're willing to stand up and fight for it. And it means getting students involved, parents, teachers. Let's build a real coalition in this state, because it is on the chopping block. We have already lost more money than I can even speak about to public schools in this state, and it's going to continue to be cut again and again. And who is that going to hurt? It's going to hurt the future and the children who are coming up through the system right now. And where are those kids going to end up? They're going to end up in prison. That's what our state is saying right now. That's right. Educate, don't incarcerate, and let's all get involved. Thanks.
Finally, we just want to acknowledge a group that traveled in with Oakland, the Families to Amend California Three Strikes. We're part of a movement to change the way things are done. Thank you.
I know it's warm out there, but it's a hotter day coming if they don't do the right thing up in this legislature. Now I want everybody, I know you're trying to get a little shade, but we're sun people. You from the equator family. Some of you all act like you can't handle sun. So you come on out of the shade and get out here where we can see you. We're only going to be a few more minutes. I want everybody to come in right now. We got about 5 more speakers from 5 different areas, and then we're going to go into the Capitol. But I want you all, come on out here, all on the sides and all on the shade under the trees. Come on out here and let the people see you in numbers.
All over there, come on over here. Some of you got a lot of melanin in your skin. You better get out here and get some of this sun. I want you to receive a warrior sister who is fighting the good fight on the front line for justice on all fronts. She's in San Francisco, but really, she's all over Northern California standing for justice. Please receive Sister Valerie Tullier.
Good day. Thank you for the sacrifice you're making in the sun. We do a ceremony called the Sun Dance, and we dance for 4 days in hot sun. So if you're hot, just keep your thoughts on your prayers and keep your thoughts on the purpose of why you're here today, because you're doing God's work today. You're sacrificing for the people today. Are we ready? This is round three. Yes. Round three. Yes. They ain't even seen the knockout yet, all right? We're just warming them up, right? Give them a couple bruises here and there. Well, I'm here today. My name is Valerie Tullier, and I'm here to honor the ancestors who walked before us, those who sacrificed for us, those who are in prison for us now, or those who have died for us now. So we can take a little heat right now from this sun, can't we? Yes, we can. Well, you know, we're here because we have to take it to the state level. The state level, because the local people ain't hearing us. They're not listening to us. So we're here to make some noise today. We're here to be on their radar screen, right? Right here, and right now. All I want to do is just say real quick, I want to honor the Mission District here in San Francisco, here in the house, with everybody else, and I thank you. I just want to drop just a little bit of history, then I'm going to move on to the next speaker. I just want people to understand that they want to break up our families, the families of color. Do you understand anything that happens into our communities are external factors? You understand they brought alcohol to our native people. Alcohol was a poison, and it's a poison. I don't drink a drop of alcohol because I understand that that was a poison that the white man brought to my people. I understand that. They sent Native people to boarding schools, Native children, ripped them from their families, sent them to boarding schools because they wanted to break up the family. They cut their hair, didn't let them speak their language. Oh my God, does that sound familiar? I believe they did that to the African slaves here, African free people, till they got here. They took away their language. They broke up their families. They split the men from the women and took away the babies. That's breaking up our families. What do they do to Latinos? What are they doing now? Deporting them, breaking up families, sending the parents away, leaving children who were born here, who are, have a right to be here, sending them away, breaking up the families. Do you understand? Anything happens to us is external, not nothing we do to ourselves. Who put drugs in our community? We didn't put drugs in our community. We didn't put alcohol in our community. And most of all, we didn't put guns in our community. Do you hear me? We didn't put guns in our community. We don't have no gun factories in our community. We don't have any gun factories. We don't make guns. They're poisoning our families. They're breaking up our communities. They're pushing our kids out of school and pushing them into the criminal justice system, pushing them into the prisons. But you know what? Let's be real clear. We love our babies. We love our families. We always have. That's in us. That's our natural being. And they want to take away from us. They want to take away. But we're here to fight. So I'd like for everybody, in closing, in the Native way, we say, all my relations, because we're all related. Can I get everybody to say, all my relations? Thank you, thank you. I'm going to bring up Henry Morales. He's from God Essence. He's a brother who's fighting a good fight for our youngsters. Thank you.
Good afternoon, everyone. I wanted to talk today because Mr. Muhammad here, who talked to me last week, 2 weeks ago, about a raid that happened in San Francisco with these young kids. They call them MS. And these kids have been the target of media. They've been the target of laws, international laws. And these are just kids. They called them organized. They called them a mob. They said that they were killers. These were little kids, 13, 14, 15-year-olds. They didn't even have enough money to put food in their pocket or even to get a bite to eat. And I was working with these kids, and I watched our government, our federal and our state government, raid these kids. They raided them, they put them in federal holdings, and the rest of them, they could, they deported them. They deported them within 15 hours of the raid. Usually they keep them in California for 48 hours so they can have some type of legal status, some type of legal help. That didn't happen. We watched them get these kids and deport them out of the country. Within 15 hours, they were on planes to Honduras and El Salvador. Now that's relation to us. These are our kids, these are our neighborhoods, and this government is treating our kids like it's nothing. They're locking our kids up, they're beating our kids up, they're putting us in institutions. We watch our kids go from juvenile halls to CYAs, to prisons, to federal prisons. Those are our graduates, those are our graduating degrees. These people need to invest in our kids and stop sending our kids to YAs, stop sending our kids to juvenile halls, and start sending our kids to the halls of Stanford, start sending them to San Francisco State Universities, Sacramento State, but they're investing in all the wrong places. They're not investing in us because they don't care about us. So we're here, like the brother said, to fight these people. These people say they got lobbyists. They say the prison lobbyists are the strongest lobbying group in California. I said, we're the strongest lobbying group in California. I said, we can change these laws if we come together. So I'm here in solidarity. I want to introduce a young brother that I've been working with, Cameron Stanton. He's currently working in the city, working for justice for our youngsters. Come on, sir.
My name is Cameron from San Francisco. I've been doing a lot of work with Henry Morales. I'm just here to talk about how we're feeling the gang injunction just because of the fact that we're just harassed for no reason, just because we have our name on some supposed list, and we're just categorized and criminalized, and it's just not cool, and we ain't gonna stand for it no more. And then we go from talk.
Hello, family. My name is Rico Remedio, and I work with the Inato Players. I have 2 minutes to speak. What I want to say to you guys is I was a victim of violence, and I was incarcerated for 25 years. And let me tell you guys this. Slavery exists today.
Did you hear that?
Slavery exists today. If you don't believe me, who you going to believe? I seen it. You know, I seen us. They used me to be a slave. You know, I was one of them, and they use segregation. You know, they teach prisoners how to be segregated. You know, and prison today is so bad that we really need to push this movement. You know, I've been to Caravan for Justice 1, 2, and now I'm 3, and I'm looking forward for number 4. And you know, prison got so bad that the federal start taking over the medical system. I think it's been 2 years now that they got control of medical system because the state are not doing a good job doing it. And we need to step up, you know. And you know, our kids, our youth out here need our guidance. And we need to let the politician know that they need to invest money in education instead of incarceration. You know, I was here about a month ago when we were invited to attend, supposedly to stop the violence. And when we got here, it was a promotion for CCPOA. And I was like, man, this is the wrong spot for me. But I learned a lot, you know. They're using the victims of violence to promote, to build more prison. And that is bad. That is real bad. And I just want to say that let's keep pushing, you know. Let's keep moving forward because, you know, people, we are with the power. You know, they might have money, but we have the power. And I'm just glad to be here, and thank you for you guys coming.
Let me say something.
You know what? I'm representing UP. I've been incarcerated 28 years. I thought I'd never want to reminisce about prison. And when I got out, the first thing I did, I saw a lot of strong brothers. I seen all you out here, and the first thing I did was said, hey, I got to be back here and get back in the field and start helping out like all you guys. And you know what? I'm glad you're out here, and I'll be out here fighting every day.
Thank you.
Fighting this battle. We got to win this. More power to the people. All right.
I want to thank Minister Muhammad for the opportunity. My name is Alex Toina, and I was born and raised in America, but I'm from Samoa. We cannot be a victim of one time a great man of God by the name of Moses stood before the people, and he said, stand still, for this battle is God, and that God is going to fight for us. I say no, because God told Moses, what you crying up to me for? Tell the people to move forward. You see, the fight is in our hands. The name of the game is democracy, where the power comes from the bottom up. So if the choice and the decisions in legislation is because of the bottom up, then we gotta say something about it. There's a saying that goes something like this: closed mouth don't get fed. So if you close your mouth, Jesus said to be humble, but don't be gullible. In other words, if they come and stomp and raid your house, you can do something about it. You can say something about it. But we can't just lay around and say things is going to be all right. We've been victims of a word that goes something like this: it's all good. No, it ain't all good. We got to make it good. We Americans. We belong here in America. We pay taxes too. Samoans, listen, we belong too. We pay taxes too. And we ain't getting nothing from it. God bless y'all. Let's get some, make some noise. Look at your neighbor. Look at your neighbor. Tell them we got to make some noise. Let's make some noise. If you're mad and angry, somebody say, yeah. All right, then. Put your hands together for God.
We're coming from all communities. I want to briefly introduce Gloria Arriaga. She's with the Women's Collective and Immigration Reform with La Raza Centro Legal in San Francisco. We're talking about immigrant rights. Thank you.
Hola, buenas tardes. Mi nombre es Gloria Arriaga y vengo presentando a Women's la colectiva de mujeres. ¿Sí?
Hi, my name is Gloria and I come from the Women's Collective in San Francisco.
Y todos los jornaleros del Labor Program Day también.
And all the day laborers from the program as well.
Creo que ahora todos estamos aquí por una razón, buscando el respeto y los derechos que creo que merecemos.
I think we're all here for one reason, to get the respect and the rights that we deserve as people.
Y algo que quisiera mencionar primero es el que tenemos derecho a tener un tipo de identificación. Para demostrar quién somos, de dónde venimos, no somos criminales.
One of the first things we need is a right to identify ourselves. Currently, immigrants have no right to identification, so that people know that we're not criminals, we're just people.
Otro punto es de que queremos que el gobierno tome un poco de conciencia en el sentido de que está gastando mucho dinero referente a lo de las guerras, pero no piensa en la educación de nuestros hijos, en las ayudas que quieren recortar.
We need to think about the fact that the government is spending way too much money on wars and not on the education of our children and on the services that we need.
También la policía, no queremos violencia entre nosotros mismos, somos seres humanos y pensamos o queremos ser somos seres humanos todos, tenemos las mismas necesidades. No queremos que la policía nos golpee, que nos tenga respeto. Somos personas trabajadoras, personas que tenemos familia.
She's also here because she's tired of the state, the police, and ICE criminalizing her community. Police violence, police brutality against immigrants. We're all people, we're not criminals.
Queremos también que el gobierno respete lo que es la ley de santuario de San Francisco.
We also want the government to recognize the sanctuary law, because the government in San Francisco has totally neglected the sanctuary law, where immigrants, where ICE cannot come in and collaborate with the police.
Que el gobierno pare las redadas sin separar a las familias y las comunidades.
We're tired of ICE rounding up our community, our in families, in apartment complexes, at the places that we work, and taking us and deporting us and breaking up our families.
Buscamos la legalización sin programas brasero que no abusen de los derechos de los trabajadores.
And finally, we're asking for full legalization that does not include bracero type programs, which negate and abuse workers' rights.
Y muchas gracias. Lo que podemos decir es de sí se puede. Gracias.
Thank you. Yes, we can.
Hello, everybody. How are you?
Hello, Jesse.
I won't take long
I'm not feeling good, but I want to say this. I found out something about that's happening in San Francisco. It's going to take a vote here about taking away some great land that belongs to the community, and it's going to be given to a developer, and in turn they're going to give bad and toxic land to the community. I think that's very rotten. Let's give a big boo to these people. Yeah. Let's hear it. Boo. I would like to ask the governor to step in if he's got any decency left. Come up to San Francisco and see what it's all about. Also, Leland Yee, who I worked with before. If you hear me, Leland, come on up to San Francisco and help us. Vote against that move, if you please. Okay, everybody, I have to leave. I'm sorry, and God bless you all. Let's stick together and keep on coming back here until whatever it takes. Thank you.
Good afternoon. Assalamu alaikum. We're here gathered with some community activists from the Central Valley. I'd like to introduce to you from the city of Modesto, a group of brothers representing the Revolutionary Hip Hop Report and the Modesto Cop Watch, Brother Tom Hem. Please give him a round of applause.
How you guys doing out there? They took away the sage. I was going to bless myself with the sage and just say that that's wonderful how all these different people from different religious backgrounds, different racial backgrounds, ethnicity backgrounds, we're all coming together because we do all have the same interests. And when we do have people from all different backgrounds, it just gives us that much more power. And you realize that the power is really with the people. And to give you an example of that, I just want to tell you guys about our story. I'm from the Central Valley, from Modesto. I went away, went to school. I came back and was looking for stuff to get involved with. And the biggest point that I gotta make is that when you're sitting around and you're looking for this person to get involved and to do this, or you're looking up to maybe your political leader to step up and do this, we got tired of waiting. We go out to talk to people and they say, man, the cops, they come out on the weekends when we're trying to have fun downtown and they harass us. If there's a hip hop show going on, they make sure they got extra security there. They don't let people have any fun. We didn't go to the cops and tell them, you know, hey, we have these complaints. We got some video cameras and we went out downtown Modesto with video cameras and we watched the cops and kept an eye on them so that they would stop harassing people. You don't have to wait until the so-called leaders approach you to see what you want to do about problems. You take it into your hands, take a video camera out if you don't like the way they're acting, and tape them, and then you got proof to take it to the next step. We had a problem with the local newspaper, the Modesto Bee. They're pretty much in lockstep with everything that the police say, and they tell you the information that they want you to have. We didn't write them a letter, you know, letter to the editor or make a complaint. We started our own newsletter. It's called the Revolutionary Hip Hop Report. And we're not making news for elitists, you know, for college graduates to read. We're making news so that a 15-year-old kid can pick it up and read it and feel it and then get some information out of that. And we're putting together hip-hop. We're putting together the politics of it. We're bringing classes of people together. There's lots of poor white people in the Central Valley, lots of poor Latinos, blacks, every race, color, religion, everything. We need to realize that we're all in it together, start doing for ourselves. Don't wait for the leaders to come around. If you lead, the leaders will come around and they'll put you aboard. So thank you for your time. Thanks for having us.
Give them a round of applause. Today we have with us a youth activist from the city of Stockton, Ms. Zephanie Smith. Give her a round of applause, please.
I was glad when they said unto me, let's get on the buses for justice. Let's get out there and have a rally. Is anybody out there fired up?
Yeah!
Fired up?
Yeah!
Fired up?
Yeah!
And ready to go. That's the way we do it. I was glad when they said, let's get out there and let's take a stand. Let's take advantage of the opportunities we have, the resources that they are giving us, so that we can make a difference. I want to take just a moment to speak to the young people that are here. You over there fanning, y'all over there having a conference. Young people, if you're under the age of 25, I want you to listen very closely, because this wasn't just about some adult putting you on a bus and dragging you out here in the sun. time. It's about letting you know that you are qualified and empowered to make a difference. It's not just about you, because you look good in your black and white, but I'll tell you what it is about. It's about the 5-year-old girl from Florida who was handcuffed, locked up, and left in a police car for 3 hours, not because she had a weapon and not because she was doing anything threatening. She had a tantrum. Have you had a tantrum before with your parents? Have you ever got upset? The system that we are currently living in is more conducive with our budget sponsored by us, the taxpayers, to producing prisons than it is educational facilities. Rumor has it that in the past 20 years, California has sponsored 20 prisons and one university, UC Merced. That is entirely unacceptable, and it is simply up to us to say no, just say no to these horrifying, horrifying decisions that are being made. You as an individual have the power to make a difference. You have to stand and be counted. Don't back up, back out, backslide, back off, back down. It is up to you to get educated, make others aware, and then get active. Hold yourself accountable for what people are doing or not doing. Hold our legislators accountable. Introduce yourself. Introduce yourself and state your concerns. You ought to be concerned, because just because you are not locked up, just because you have the opportunity to sit in a classroom and make a difference, doesn't mean your brother does. Because many of them don't, and we represent them too. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Does anybody from the Bay Area hear what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We have to be accountable and responsible. Victory is in you. You have the voice. You have the opportunity. Look at your neighbor and say, victory is in you. Stand and be counted. Get your education, get active, get motivated, and share it with your neighbors. Thank you so much.
Brothers and sisters, we have a special guest that came to stand with us and say a few words of welcome, but I want all of you that are in shaded areas, come on in. I know you're fighting the sun, and get on over here real quick. But I want to introduce to you with words of welcome on behalf of those who are elected officials. We want to welcome the Majority Whip, Assemblywoman, Assembly Member Fiona Ma from San Francisco. Please receive her.
Thank you so much. And I just wanted to welcome everyone to the People's Capitol. It is important for you to come up here to lobby us, your elected officials. Let us know what issues are impacting your community, what issues are of concern. We are facing a very, very bad budget crisis right now, and a lot of people are going to be hurt over the next year, year and a half. And by you coming up here and letting us know what is important to you, what you want us to stand up for, what needs to be fixed in this community, the justices that need to be corrected, that is what your voice is going to say to us by being here. So we want to thank you for coming. Please stop into our offices. Let us know that you are here, what your issues are, and we really want to hear you. So thank you, and especially to the young people. It's important that you are all here, because this is your future, and this is what democracy is all about. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Give her another round of applause. That's a bold step. It's nothing to take light. And now we want to bring up Sister Betty Williams from Sacramento, an activist here. Please receive her with a warm round of applause. She's helped host it. Take 2 minutes.
so much. I appreciate that I have the opportunity to speak before you once again on behalf of the African American Leadership Coalition, of which I am the chair. The African American Leadership Coalition consists of about 30 African American groups, organizations, faith-based, as well as community-based organizations. We too believe in collaboration with everyone here. This gathering, I am so proud of the fact that we've come together. Reminds me of the movie Drumline. How many of you seen Drumline? Drumline, they had a director on there that talked about his band, and when he talked about his band, he talked about one band, one sound. Yeah. One band, one sound. What does that mean together? Let's say one band, one sound. What that means is that we collectively come together as a band or as a group of leaders or community activists, and in that band you have a series of instruments. It can be your flute, it can be your trumpet, it can be your drums, it can be your keyboards. But what that means is that when you come together, you're not hearing just the drums or the flute or the trumpet, you're hearing one sound. You understand what I'm saying? So when we come together as Nation of Islam, African American Coalition, the various faith-based communities, the various sororities and fraternities, and all other African-American groups, when we come together, we're one band, one sound. So when we come together as one band, one sound, I'm talking about one voice. We're talking in one voice. So when we come together, we're dealing with activism, and we're talking about equal opportunities in housing. That's one band, one sound. We're talking about equal opportunities when it comes to education. We're not talking about prison education. We're talking about one band, one sound. When we're coming together about employment opportunities, that includes contracts and the stimulus money that goes to us as well. We're talking about one band, one sound. When we're talking about opportunities, when it just comes to us, and it's okay to say African Americans and blacks and colored, because somewhere in the midst of this, it appeared that we became, or leaders became, ashamed to say black. They're ashamed to say African Americans. And there's this new word that's called diversity, and that's fine. But when you look at the people who are in prison, and you look at the people who are dropped out, and when you look at the suspension and the expulsion, I see black and brown. And so I'm not ashamed to say that. So collectively, we need to be that one band and that one sound and that one voice. So when we come together at the Capitol, we are coming together in one voice. So again, I want to hear you say one band, one sound. One band, one sound. And one voice. Thank you.
All right. Good job. Brothers and sisters, we're about to go into the Capitol to meet some of the legislators, because that's really why we're here. To let them know that there's a new movement to demand, expect justice. So I want you to recognize that if you don't stand today, you've sentenced yourself and your children to death and destruction. Because as this state tightens up, and the budget crisis looms, and they begin to make tough choices, guess who is going to get locked out? It's going to be the voiceless, the non-active, the non-responsive. Those who refuse to stand up today will be caught up tomorrow. So you better take advantage of this opportunity, because the life you're saving will probably be yours or your children's. Now, there's a brother here who was caught up in the 1960s, and he and those with him made the mistake of standing up for our people with the Black Panther Party. And taxpayer money was spent to destroy this movement. And these men and women who stood up, many of them went to prison, many of them died. Many of them suffered, This man, along with others, is now being prosecuted by the state because they had the audacity to stand up. And in standing up, not only did the government try to destroy the Panther Party 40 years ago, but they're trying to destroy the remnant of those brothers and sisters who are still fighting to this very day. We have with us Brother Richard Brown from the San Francisco 8. Give him a round of applause. He was fighting for you when some of you weren't even born.
All power to the people.
The people's power.
Most of you know my plight, and as Brother Christopher and Mr. Christopher said, I am still under attack because I had the privilege of helping form the Black Panther Party 40 years ago. And we proceeded to rock this country to its very foundation with our programs, with our progressive programs, and with the revolutionary ideas that we had. They didn't like it then, they don't like it now. I am still under attack. Actually, myself and seven other brothers have been charged with a 40-year-old crime homicide against one officer and conspiracy to murder just about anybody else that they could throw in there. They say we're responsible for everything that they couldn't prove, they want to pin it on us. Because of the tremendous amount of support that I've gotten from the people not only in San Francisco but throughout the Bay Area of this country, I'm standing here in front of you today out on bail because of the support that we've gotten from you. I'm asking you to continue to support us. Our preliminary hearing starts June the 8th. We're going to have a rally at 8 o'clock at 850 Bryant Street, June the 8th, in order to kick this off. We're asking everybody to come out and to send a clear message that we still have support and they must free the SFA. Thank you for your time and your patience.
We got brothers and sisters here from Antioch, Pittsburgh. Brothers and sisters here from East Palo Alto, and their issues are the issues of justice. But for the sake of time, we're going to condense all of that because we got some work to do. And I know we got to get back to our cities. In San Francisco, they're trying to take Marcus Garvey King Housing Co-op, robbing people of land that's worth over $40 million. We got brothers and sisters in Antioch who are being evicted unjustly. We got brothers and sisters in East Palo Alto who are being arrested unjustly. As you can see, we're catching hell just about everywhere. So it's time to stand. We got environmental issues. Sister Marie Harrison has been fighting for environmental causes with Green Action. Come on out so we can see you. We've got brothers and sisters here who have been battling on the front line in just about every cause imaginable. But it's up to you and I to stand and recognize that injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. So just take 30 seconds, Sister Marie, Brother Frederick, my brother from Sacramento who's running for office. Come right up, just give a shout out to the people, and then we're going to conclude and go stage right, stage left, and we're going to walk in the Capitol. Come on up. Real quickly.
Good afternoon. My name is Marie Harrison. I'm with Green Action for Health and Environmental Justice. I'm here to let you know that we are indeed connecting all the dots between the land that we walk on, the water that we drink, the air that we breathe, and the houses that we're not living in anymore, okay? And we're here to tell these folks up here, we put you there. I think it's time for us to remove you if you're not going to do the job. So that's all I have to say. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, folks. My name is Henry Harry, and justice demanded that I come here today. I'm going to be running for city council because I've been working on some of these issues with some of the people here. And let me just say this, because it's quickly here. Let me just say in a nutshell that the riots in Los Angeles, Cincinnati, the marches in New York when Sean Bell was shot, and then we have the tragic shooting of Oscar Grant in Oakland. Now, all of these are things called citizens' unrest. And that's citizens' unrest because some of our politicians, and many of them, the same color of us, sit by quietly and watch this stuff build. Yeah. So it's time to step into office and do something. One last question. Are we in trouble?
Yeah. Yes.
Now, what kind of man would I be if my people are in trouble and I don't do anything?
That's right. That's right, bro.
Give him a round of applause. Brothers and sisters, we're going to conclude by saying to the family that came from Richmond, California, give them a round of applause. The family that came from Vallejo, give them a round of applause. The brothers and sisters that came from Oakland and Berkeley, give them a round of applause. The brothers and sisters that came from Stockton, give them a round of applause. Modesto, Bakersfield, Antioch, Pittsburgh, East Palo Alto, and San Francisco, give yourselves a round of applause. You made a statement today. Now I want all of you to prepare to go in this direction. We're going to go through the metal detectors and go up to your state capitol, and let's go and talk to some of our legislators. Thank you.